Do you live by faith? Do you live your life by faith? And let me clarify that question a little bit before you just all say, oh, of course. When I say, do you live by faith? I'm not asking, do you have faith in your life? See the difference? I'm asking, do you live by faith? Not just, do you have faith in your life? Because I would say probably all of us have faith in our life. Like maybe we have trusted our life with Christ, we've received His forgiveness, and we would count ourselves among God's people and among the faithful. But then the question I follow up that with, okay, but do you live by faith? Do you live your life by faith? The decisions you make on day-to-day life, are they decisions made by faith? Is it an act of trust of God the way you live your life? Because I wonder if living life and get up and we go to a job that we felt like we got by our own strength because we earned it, and we work a job, we earn a paycheck, we feel like that's my paycheck because I earned that paycheck by my own sweat and labor. And then I come home and I swing by the grocery store and I choose what I'm going to eat, and I make it by myself, and I feed myself and sustain myself, and then I do what sounds good in the evenings, I enjoy a bit of time, and then I go to bed and I get up and do it again. Is there really faith in that? I mean, there can be. That certainly can be a life of faith. But I just want to distinguish those two things of having faith in our life and living by faith. Because when we've been going through this series on Joshua, and Joshua's lived an awesome, exciting life, and I look at that life and say, gosh, that's so different from how we live. Right? It's very different. And I think what is different is he was living life by faith. It wasn't just that he had faith in his life. He lived life by faith. Every decision he made, he was out on such a limb that if God doesn't come through, he was sunk. Like where he was at, it was that he was trusting in the promises of God so much that he was out so far that if God did not come through on his words and did not come through on what he said he would do, that it would be the end of him. He was living life by faith. And that's something I want in my life. And that's something as your pastor I want in your guys' life. To have to live such an exciting life of faith that we're out there trusting God. And if he doesn't come through, we're sunk. And every choice we make, am I going to trust God's word and obey him in this? Or am I going to go by what's comfortable and the thing I can handle? And that we would always choose to trust God, even into the scary, unknown aspects of life. That we would live life by faith. So this morning, we're talking about the thing, there's something that prevents us from doing that. And this passage in Joshua that we're going to read today, it addresses that thing. And so we're going to read this passage together. The thing's going to be addressed, and we're going to talk about it. Real simple, all right? The thing that stops us from living that life by faith, living a life of complete trust in God. So if you got Bibles, open them up to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read a big section, Joshua 3 and 4. We got two chapters to read today, so I'm going to read through it. It's a great story, and we're going to learn from it, and then we'll go back and we're going to talk about it. As you're turning to Joshua 3, some of the context, what's going on? If you're new to this series, what we've been talking about, Joshua is leading the Israelites into the promised land. God had already freed them from slavery in Egypt. He's led them through the desert. He had brought them to the promised land. 40 years ago, they got to the edge and said, no, that's too scary, we're not going in. So God said, you're not going in? Fine. You're really not going in. None of you are going in. And he sent them in the desert to wander for 40 years until they all dropped dead, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they were the two that wanted to go in. So now they're back. They've returned now after 40 years. God says, all right, enter into the promised land. It's a land I'm giving you. They're at the border of it. They're ready to go in. They're ready to follow God in. They're on the edge of the promised land. And that's where we pick up our story today. The nation of Israel, they've been wandering for 40 years. This is the next generation. They're ready to enter into the promised land. And that's where we pick up Joshua chapter 3. So here they are on the edge. And Joshua is their leader. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Okay, promised land over there, big river in front of them in between. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, that's a new one, Amorites, and Jebusites. That's all the people that are already there. Seek the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests could carry the ark, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Verse 14. So when the people broke camped across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. As soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Chapter 4. Amazing miracle. Let's see what happens next. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests were standing, and carry them with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Verse 8. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in the awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests come up out of the Jordan. Then the priests came up out of the Jordan carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask your parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before. As until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Okay, big chunk of scripture, but I wanted to read it all because it's so important together to paint a picture of what just happened. Do you guys see that? Did you guys follow along what was going on? Were you able to track what was happening? God does this amazing miracle in the sight of his people. He does this amazing miracle before them. He gives them this powerful testimony of his, of who he is, and he gives this powerful testimony, to his people that he is with them. He stops up the Red, the Jordan River to allow the people to cross through. And this is especially powerful symbol for them because they had always heard about, oh, back of the Red Sea. Oh, you should have seen it, back of the Red Sea. Their parents and grandparents have been telling them about what God did back of the Red Sea when he parted the Red Sea and we passed through it. And they always said, we know God is with us because he parted the Red Sea. And when God introduced himself and says, hey, it's me, God, the one who led you out of Egypt, the one who parted the Red Sea. It was a testimony to them of his power and his provision for them. And now God does the same thing for this generation. As they're beginning to, as they're entering into the promised land, he parts the Jordan River to allow them to walk through on dry ground. And it was a confirmation for them that he was with them. In chapter 3, verse 10, he says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out all these other people before you. This is to give them confidence. God's saying, I'm with you, I'm affirming you, you can trust me, let's go do this. So he did this amazing miracle. But here's the thing I want to focus on about this miracle, the crossing of the Jordan. It's an amazing miracle, but here's the thing I want to focus on today that I thought was very interesting. It's interesting and important. So, crossing the Jordan, I found it very compelling that the guys carrying the ark, they walked right out into the water. They walked up to the water, and it did not move. They walked towards the water. There's the water up there. It did not move. They walked up to the water. It did not move. They got right to the shore. It did not move. They walked out into the water. They got their feet wet. They got their sandals wet. And then the water moved. God did this amazing work, but he waited until they had gotten into the water. And from that truth, this is going to be our central truth this morning. This is what we're going to talk about as we dive into what was going on in this moment. That's interesting for the nation of Israel, but I think ultimately interesting for us as we are also God's people. This is our central truth today. The path of faith begins with a step of faith. The path of faith begins with a step of faith. Now you would say, well, duh. Well, I respond to your duh. Well, hold on. You're going to see why this is important. As we've been talking about living that life of faith, not just having faith in our life, but living a life of faith, it's important for us to understand that that life of faith begins with a step of faith. Again, think of those people with the faith it took. They just marched right on into that water. They just marched right on into that water. You notice God never told them, as you step into the water, I'm gonna stop up the water. He didn't tell them that. He said, march, go to Canaan. It's over there. And they started walking. And all of a sudden they were walking and went splash, splash, splash. As they were walking, they just marched right into it. They were so confident that God would do something that they just stepped out into the water. They didn't let this river in front of them stop them. They said, well, God says to go that way. I'm here, that way is that way, there's a river in front of me, I'm going that way. And they marched out right into the river. And what would ultimately be this huge, big, dangerous path of faith that they were gonna, that they had all these battles to fight and these fortified cities to overcome and these nations coming against them, this enormous, dangerous faith path they were marching on, it began with this path of faith. To just walk right through this water, and then as they did this, God did this something amazing to grow their faith as they begin this journey. As they walked out, God stopped up that water and did this amazing act. Now, God could have stopped up the water as they were walking up. He could have done that, right? God could have said, all right, here they come. Come on through, guys. It's okay, I got this. Nothing to worry about, I got this. Come on through. It's even dry. You can come on through. It's a little slippery, but come on. He didn't do that. He could have, but he made a point. By not doing that, I think he made a very clear point. He wanted them to splash, splash, splash out into the water to take a step of faith because he knew that step of faith was going to be important for this whole path he had them on. That it was important that they took this step of faith so that as they stepped out in faith, they could see God come through and that would drive them through this whole path of faith. And why this is so interesting and so important for you and me is I think we need to know to follow God in the path of faith, we got to get our feet wet. How many of us have been standing on the shore? When is God going to move that water? I know I'm supposed to go that way, but there's this water here. What's on Netflix? You know? How many of us, we've been standing on the shore waiting for God to do that thing, and that's prevented us from living by faith. To live by faith requires a step of faith. It begins with a step of faith. And I worry that that has stopped us, our desire, that we think, that this passage deals with a misconception that we have. We have this misconception that, well, if this is really God leading me to do this, well, then God will prepare the way. If it's God, then he'll take care of everything else. It'll be so clear that it's God. He'll take care of all the issues. He'll just pave the way with gold, and he'll just, everything, all the obstacles will part, all the other doors and windows will close, and there's my door, and I'm going to walk through that door. If it's really God, that's how God does things. And we want to take the faith out of it. We say, okay, God, if that's really you asking me to do this thing, well, then you have to show it by... We've sensed God leading us, right? We sense God moving us in a direction, and we think, well, if that's really you, God, then you better show it by moving that water. All right, you've sensed God asking you to give up that dishonest source of income. You know it's not right, and God's asking you to give that up. And you think, okay, God, if you want me to give that up, then you just go ahead and replace the income. And once you replace that income, then I'll close the door on this other income. Move that water. Then I'll step out. Maybe God, you felt God moving on you to talk to that loved one about him. The one that you're scared to talk to about him. The one that you worry about that conversation. Maybe you feel God leading you to have that conversation. You're thinking, okay, God, if this is really you, if you really want me to have this conversation, then show me by having them come ask me. Can you tell me about your relationship with Christ? And you're waiting for that to happen. That's what's going to make you step out. Or maybe God's been moving on you to give up that one area of a life that you know it's a moral grayness and probably not even gray, but you've justified it in your life, and you know, but you feel like God's been asking you to give that up, but yet that area of your life is because I'm so valuable and so cherished to you, it's precious to you. I just watched Lord of the Rings last night, so... And you want to, and God's asking you to give that up, and you think, okay, God, if that's really you, then you better make this really clear to me. You better just take care of it for me, and we want to take God out of it. We want to take, faith out of it. But here's the thing, as we see from the Israelites, the path of faith begins with a step of faith. God did not move that water until they were in the water. Until they had already acted. I think a lot of us are waiting, we're not acting until God acts. God, I need you to act, so then I'll respond to that action. You know what God's doing? Went for you to act to respond to your action. And as much as you're saying, well, God, if you would just provide, replace that dishonest income, then I could give up that dishonest income. You know what God's thinking? Boy, if they would just give up that dishonest income, then I'd replace that dishonest income. And they would come out of it for the better, because they'd have a growing faith and trust in me. The path of faith begins with a step of faith. We love the saying because it rhymes, so therefore we love it. Where God guides, God provides. Have you guys heard that? Where God guides, God provides. We love that. But we use it incorrectly. We use that statement to say, well, if it's really God, then he'll provide all the stuff up front. If God's asking me to do this, and he'll give me everything I need ahead of time before I even step out, you know. If it's if God guides, then God provides. Well, here's the thing. It's true. Where God guides, God provides. But here's where you got it wrong. God provides as you're doing it, not before. You'll be stepping out in faith, thinking this is no way this is going to work out, stepping out on a limb. If God doesn't come through, you're sunk. Literally, with the Israelites, right? And they step on out, and then God provides. as you step out, after you step out, I'd even say. Thou and I, God has moved on us. I can think of a few times, but three especially, where God moved on us to do something, to step out in faith. And here's the thing about those three times. Every time God asked us to step out and do something, like guided us in a very clear, do this thing sort of way, at the time, it felt like there was no answers. There was no provision. There was no way it could work. But every time God provided, and I can look back and say, wow, God provided in all these situations in such a garish way, over-the-top way, but in every one, it wasn't until after we'd already passed a point of no return. When I was up in Seattle, I had a finance degree, and I was working in finance, and God moved in my heart to move to Southern California to work with inner-city kids and just to give my life to serving him. That was a major God asked me to do that. But no way, but he didn't say, oh, by the way, I'll give you a job and a place to live and friends and all that. I had none of those things. God says, I want you to do this. And it took it, and as I did that, God provided, gave me a job, gave me a place to live, gave me friendships, gave me community, but it wasn't until after. I can look back and say it was there, but at the time it was not there. When God asked us to go into full-time ministry, because I was working a job and making my own income, and God moved in my heart to become a pastor. Crazy, right? And I felt God saying, do this. When he said, do this, there was no salary. There was no income. I had a wife at that time. There was none of that. But yet God took care of all those things. But after I said yes. After I said yes, that's when the support came in, and then the finances came in, and the questions got answered. But it was after I said yes. There was no answers before. When God moved in us to come to Long Beach to plant City Lights Church, that was God very clearly led us, say, hey, you need to do this thing, this specific thing. But guess what? When he said do this thing, there was no people. I didn't know a single person. I know I knew John. I didn't know any of the rest of you guys, right? I didn't know any. There was no people. There was no building. There was no budget. How do you plan a church like that? But God provided all those things. But after. So here's what we've got to get in our head. The path of faith begins with a step of faith. And if you're sitting there waiting, like, God, once you do this thing, then I'm your man. If it's really you, then provide these steps. If you take care of, if you cross all these what ifs off for me, and then once you do that, I'm in. I'm yours. Behold your servant. You're going to be standing there forever. Because it's a step of faith. We've got to get off the shore. Wait for that water to move. Oh, I'm so ready. When that water moves, I'm going to be first in line. I worry a lot of us are missing out on the joy, the excitement, the fulfillment of living by faith. Of being out there so far, if God doesn't come through, you're sunk, and then he does come through, and your faith is strengthened, and you're encouraged, and that joy of your salvation is just, is something real, and you're just, it's life-changing. That's the joy of all this. You know why a lot of this is monotonous? Because we're not living by faith. We're just kind of going through the motions. We don't live in a place where we need to rely on God. We need to see God through, God come through. And therefore, it's kind of boring and monotonous. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do those things because I don't really need that stuff the way I'm living. But when that stuff was required for how I'm living, oh my gosh, I need more Bible. I need more praying. God's got to come through or I'm sunk. And then he comes through. The life of joy, fulfillment. I worry that we miss it because we're unwilling to take a step of faith. Okay, so the rest of our time, that's it. But here's how we do this. I want to talk about that courageous first step. That first step, it takes a lot of courage. As we're talking about the living out our courageous faith, that courageous first step is what we're going to focus on today. That stepping out into the water, and we're getting wet, okay? A courageous first step, and these are their fill-in-the-blanks here. A courageous first step. These are some attributes of that first step. The courageous first step focuses on God's leading, not on the current circumstances. That first step, the courageous first step focuses on God's leading, not on the current circumstances. Why did the Israelites step into the water? Because God was leading them that direction. Because God had told them, this is the land I'm giving you. It's over there. Let's go get it. Splash, splash, splash as they walked out into the water. So the current circumstances, They got a river between them. And when I say river, they mentioned flood stages. I did a little research. Jordan River gets pretty big in the flood stages. This isn't a stream. This isn't even just as wide as the church. They say it's about a quarter mile across. In Long Beach terms, that's about five blocks. So this is a five-block river that's in front of you, between you and the other side. And that was the circumstances they were facing. Here's this river in front of them. So they could focus on the circumstances, or they could focus on God's leading. And God had told them, that is the land I'm giving you. Go for it. And going back to the opening message in this series, where we talked about being willing to follow God despite the obstacles that are in front of us, and as a way to experience God's blessing, and about how the Israelites had failed to enter into God's blessing because they failed to come up against the obstacles that they face, and they ran away from God, and therefore they missed out on God's blessing. These people weren't going to miss out on God's blessing. They'd been hearing for 40 years from their parents and grandparents, man, we screwed up, and that's why we're in this desert. And when you guys get your turn, don't do what we did. And so when it was their turn to go in, God's leading is what they focused on. It wasn't the obstacle. The obstacle didn't matter. God had been preparing them for 40 years to say yes to this and to cross right into, to walk right into that river. If God is asking you to do something, if he is leading you in your life to do something, that's enough. That's all the confirmation you need. He has proven himself to you, I'm sure, that he loves you. He's proven himself to you that he's capable, he can handle this thing. He's proven to you that he's got your best in mind. So that when he leads you, when you feel his leading, that's enough. You can say yes to that. It doesn't mean he leads me and he removes all the circumstances that get in the way of it. He's leading is enough. So if that courageous first step, it focuses on God's leading, not on our current circumstances. Okay, because the circumstances can be like, oh, I don't know, God, clean all this stuff up, then I'll step. No, focus on God's leading to take that that courageous first step. Second thing, courageous first step remains in the presence of God. The courageous first step remains in the presence of God. Let me explain this one. This passage, as we read it, I wanted to read the whole thing because I thought as we read those two chapters, it came very clear out of this. He goes out of his way to communicate that all that happened with them crossing the Jordan River was all done by the presence of God. Did you guys catch that? It was all done by the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant, that signifies God's presence. And everywhere they carried it in battle, they had victory. It was the presence of God. It brought blessing and victory with it. It represented the presence of God. That's why the Nazis in Indiana Jones were so amped up to get it because they wanted that power for them. But the ark is a visible, tangible picture of God's presence. Now, does God really live in the ark? Of course not. But it was a visible reminder for the Israelites to say, hey, just, you know, there's the ark. God is with us. And us bringing the ark is evidence that we're just bringing God with us as we're doing this, that God is leading us. Okay. So they're told, as they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the water, it made it very clear, as the Ark of the Covenant goes into the water stops. As they were standing in the middle of the river with the Ark of the Covenant, the water piles up. As everyone goes through, it says they hurried across. That's probably an understatement, right? It said they hurried across. When they're all done, and then when they brought the Ark out of the water, then the river started. Very clear tie to the presence of God. Okay. Now, God's power was not dependent on that Ark. It's not like, boy, as soon as they get that ark in the water, I'm going to wow them. Then I can do it. It's not like his power was limited to that. He was making a point. He made a very clear point that it was his presence accomplishing these things. That it was all done by the presence of God. And this is important for us to know that you and I, if we're going to take this courageous first step in faith, it's important that we're walking closely with God. That we're walking in the presence of God, because as we walk in the presence of God, that's going to bring us the confidence that God is with us, and then I can take that first step. But I guarantee you, if you are not walking closely with God, you will not take that first step. All the circumstances will overwhelm you, and you think there's no way this can happen, and you will not take that step. In order for you to take that courageous first step of faith, to live by faith, it's critical that we walk closely with God. Because it's that presence of God that gives us the courage to do it. And this is not like in Joshua 1. I'm telling you, God's been preparing Joshua and the nation of Israel for this. In Joshua 1, he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I am with you. The presence of God was giving him courage to say yes to him, that he could respond to God in courage because of his presence. Same thing goes for you and me. It's important that we walk closely with God, that we're regularly communing with God, that we're living life one-on-one with God, that we're spending our time with God. We're doing those things that build into our relationship with God. We're reading our Bible to hear from him. We're talking to him in prayer. We're worshiping him by responding to him. We're interacting with him as we go about the day, as we're working our job, we're doing our business, whatever we're doing. We're talking with God. We're walking closely with God. And not because we're supposed to. Typically, we do those things because we're supposed to. It's the reason we eat our vegetables. Most of you guys eat your vegetables. The reason you guys eat your vegetables is because you're supposed to. It's good for you. You're supposed to do it. Well, that's a lot of us, that's why we read our Bible, because we're supposed to. That's why we pray, because we're supposed to. Here's the thing. It's not just because you're supposed to. It's because it's what's best for you. The reason that the only way you're going to say yes to God in that step of faith is if you're walking closely with him. And the way you walk closely with him is by reading your word, spending time with him, talking with him in prayer, interacting with him throughout the day. It's critical so that I can say yes to God. Chapter 3, verse 5, listen to Joshua. This is before any of this happened. They're camping on the shore. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That is a man who's walking closely with God, right? Tomorrow God's going to do something awesome. Let's get ready and do this. So confident in God because of God's presence with him. Okay. So that courageous first step, it focuses on God's leading, not on the circumstances. It remains in the presence of God, actively walks close with God to be able to say yes to God. And finally, a courageous first step remembers what God has done to help with future steps. Remembers what God has done to help with future steps. Remembers, so as you take that first step and you see God come through and you see God answer and you see God provide, then that courageous first step, it remembers that. How God came through and answered and met your need. Why? So that it'll help with those future steps that come up. So God, in Joshua here, God does this amazing miracle. He stops up the water. They pass through. And was that it? That was one chapter. They spend a whole another chapter where God tells the people, okay, here's what you're going to do so we don't miss the importance of this. Everybody, somebody from each tribe, the 12 of you guys, pick up one big old rock right from the middle of the Jordan. The big old rock, and we're going to bring it to the edge, and we're going to set up an altar, set up a monument. And why is that monument there? So that you always remember what I did. That when you stepped out in the water, I piled it up on both sides, and you walked through. And that you always remember that, that this will grow your faith. Not just you, but your children. When your children ask, hey, Dad, what's this thing with the rocks? You say, oh, my gosh, let me tell you. I totally forgot. God, we stepped out in the water, and God stopped it up on both sides. It was awesome. Our God is so good. And so they were commanded to make up this monument so that that step that they took would be more than just a way to get them across that river. Instead, it was something that would grow their faith so that they could continue to say yes to God. Because here's the thing. The first step of faith is just that. It's the first step of faith. Every time I think, if I take this step, then everything else will take care of itself. No, you know what happens after the first step of faith? Another step of faith. And it's a path of faith. But when we look back at what God has done and see God, when we step out in faith, if God doesn't come through, I'm sunk. He comes through. It grows our faith. So I can take the next step. It's kind of like a muscle, right? Using our faith is like a muscle. We take a step and then we see God through, comes through, and we remember that and it grows our faith. So next time I can take another step. And then we see God come through and it grows our faith. The next time I take another step. And that's the path of faith. As we do this, it grows our faith as we remember what God has done. Israelites, they had a ton more work to do. Crossing the Jordan, that wasn't that big a deal. They had all these armies to come up against. Next week we're going to talk about Jericho. I mean, nobody defeats Jericho. They had Jericho coming up. They had a lot of faith still to come. That's why this was so important, that not only did they trust God crossing the Jordan, but they set up this monument to remind them of what God has done so it would grow their faith to take those next steps. We got to wrap up. So in conclusion, I worry for you. I worry you're missing out on all the joy and fulfillment of faith. There's so much excitement that comes with walking with God. And I worry we miss it because we've protected ourselves. We've safeguarded ourselves from all faith, any risk. And so there's no faith required. And therefore, when God does ask us to move, we're kind of, okay, God, then take care of that, and then I'll step out. And we miss out. We miss out on all God has for us. And I worry we're afraid to take that first step. Well, if God is serious, then he'll make this thing happen, and therefore I'll know, and then I could take that step. But here's the thing, that's never going to happen. Because God wants you to step out in faith. The point is faith. The point wasn't, how can I get these people across the Jordan? It was, I want these people to know, I want them to step out in faith, experience the fear, but also the confidence and see me come through. And so it's not just about God cleaning up that thing. He wants you to step out into it so that he could grow your faith. So that's my encouragement for you today. What's God asking you to do? What's God been leading you? And you say, well, that can't be right because there's a river in front of me. What step is he asking you to take? No more paralysis by analysis. Wait until everything is handled and every duck is in a row and everything is just all adds up and it's no more risk to it. And I'm not saying be stupid. But if God is leading, not just, oh, I would always love to have done that. I'm going to try it. No, but if God is leading, then that's enough. And we need to be, if God's leading, we need to be following. It's as simple as that. Not waiting for the perfect scenario to lay out. So our closing question is this. What step of faith is God asking you to take? What step of faith is God asking you to take? Could be a big step, like trusting your life to him, saying no to the things of your old self and saying yes to him. Could be small stuff. I don't know. But we need to be ready to say yes to God and follow him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you don't leave us in our boring, ordinary lives, that we no longer have to conform to the pattern of the world, but instead we get to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So God, I pray for all of us that you would shake us out of our comfort zones, that you would speak so loudly to us that we would be sure of your leading. And we want to look at your leading, evidence of your leading by our circumstances, but instead just from you. And God, I pray that you would keep us all close to you. Help us to do the things that help us walk closely with you so we can hear loudly from you and say yes to you. God, I'm excited what this could mean for our church. I'm excited what this could mean for each person in this room. And so, God, I just pray that you would bless us with a loud, clear leading and the courage to say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.